come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came to faith, and he brought Paul and Silas to his house as well, and their family were baptized. And there was great joy. The Gerasene demoniac, remember his story? I like that story. He lived among the tombs. He was a wild man. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and healed him of his demons. And he is restored to his right mind. And then the joy of Zacchaeus, which we're going to get to in a few weeks. Zacchaeus came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the end of that little passage, Jesus says this, that today salvation has come to the house, this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so tonight we continue with a theme of the joy of amazing grace in our lives. And Paul expresses this joy of amazing grace of Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. This passage that we're going to read here in a minute is really a treasure chest of joy. A treasure chest of joy. And let's stand and read this now. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Father, how we thank you for your word. Thy word is truth. We ask that your Spirit would come now and enlighten us. Cause the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this long passage, verses 3 to 14, in Greek, it's just one sentence, one wonderful sentence. And it lists all of the blessings that come from faith in Jesus Christ. And all the verbs make the Father the subject. And all the blessings come in Christ. And here is the treasure chest of our union with Christ. This treasure chest is all about union with Christ. There are blessings in Christ, in verse 3, we're told, in the heavenly places. Why the heavenly places? I'm glad you asked that. Because this is where believers have been brought in Christ. And this is how the Father sees you, Christian, as being seated with Christ in the heavenlies, as having been raised up and seated with your Savior. And now let's open up the treasure chest of joy and take out the jewels. Each jewel, by the way, is also the description of a Christian. And every jewel is true of every Christian here this night. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. This is the overture to the concert of joy that's going to follow. And the first jewel, I've mentioned it already, it's union with Christ. You as a Christian are in Christ. You are in Christ. You have a new identity. Christ is the source of these blessings that are going to follow. Union with Christ is the first jewel. And now Paul is going to enumerate these blessings that flow from being in union with Christ. The second jewel, verse 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God's grace is so awesome. He had you in view, Christian, before you were born. Even before the creation of the world. And here is joy. Can you grasp this? Can you get your brain around this, your heart around this truth? God's eternal election. The formula for the gospel is simply this: God alone saves. You were chosen before the world was created, and that was before you had anything to do with your salvation. And this is the hardest thing in the world for a human being to believe, that God saves me as I am, and there is nothing that I can do to add to this salvation. In fact, this is so hard to believe and so contrary to our fallen nature that God has to reveal it to us. Our salvation is not like the English Channel Project. Remember that from years ago? There are two giant machines, one in England and one in France, and they tunneled underneath the English Channel, somewhere a little bit over 30 miles, and they met in the middle. And they were not off by miles or yards or feet, but in fact they were only off by inches. Think of the cooperation that was necessary between France and England in order to accomplish this. But you see, our salvation is nothing like that at all. God tunneling from his side to us and our meeting him in the middle. No, God tunneled to us in his Son. Came all the way from heaven to us in his birth, in his active obedience, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. And this is very important for us to remember. God alone saves. Book of Jonah puts it this way in Jonah 2:9, salvation belongs to the Lord. Why? Because this is the truth, that there would be no salvation at all if we had anything to do with it. None at all. 100% grace, your salvation is. Not 99% God and 1% you. It's 100% grace. And that should humble us to the ground. If we ask, why did he choose me? The only answer is, he loved you. Yes, but why did he love me? The only answer is, because he chose to love you. And he planned to bring glory to his grace through you. Well, surely there's got to be some other reason. He must have seen in the future all my good deeds and what a great person I would be and how well liked I would be. And the answer is no, none of those things. It's sheer grace from the start to finish. The second jewel, he chose you before the foundation of the world, Christian. The third jewel is in verse 5. Verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. In love, he predestined us to adoption. A lot of people find the doctrine of election hard to accept. Election is a mystery. And here it's clearly taught in our text, and we can't avoid it. It's at the heart of the treasure chest of joy that God wants us to open. Calvin says there's a certain point at which we can only bow. There are truths in which we must let God be God. Paul says, in love, he predestined us to adoption. The love of God is the motivation for the gospel of grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the gospel tells us that every day, in love, God has predestined you to adoption. Every Christian is adopted in love. I know I told this story years ago, but it's such a great illustration of this truth. I'm gonna use it again. Paul Koistra, who was the chairman of Missions of the World for a number of years, tells the story of adopting his first child in Miami, Florida. And this was before the evil days of abortion. And there were so many children to be adopted in Florida. Why Florida? Well, a young woman would become pregnant and would look for the furthest place on the map to go to have her child. And there were so many babies for adoption in those days that newspapers would run ads for adoptive parents. Imagine that. And Paul Koistra and his wife wanted a family, but it wasn't working out for them. And so he and his wife went down to Florida and found an agency. And the agency said to them, "We have so many children. Come back on Wednesday." Well, it took a while. And it worked out that only on Wednesdays were children or babies made available to prospective parents. Paul said it took him five weeks before they got their baby. Their baby lived with them for an entire year. And at the end of the year, the agency said, "Now go and get a lawyer because you'll need to go before a judge." And they met with a lawyer. And the lawyer told them, "Now the judge is going to ask you a lot of questions, and just be truthful in all that you say. And think of what you're going to answer this question, which the judge is going to ask you. Why do you want to adopt this child?" And so the day came, and they went before the judge. And by the way, the lawyer said, when he asked you that question, do not say, "Well, it's because my wife and I can't have children and a doctor told us it would be a good idea to come to Florida." Or don't tell the judge, "Because we have a 5-bedroom house and there's only one bedroom being used." And so the day came, the judge asked the question after a series of questions, "Why do you want to adopt this child?" And Paul and his wife said, "Because we love this child. We love this child." And Christian, do you know why God chose you and adopted you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. The fourth jewel, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. This is how His chosen people are made acceptable. They're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And this means deliverance by paying a price. Slaves were freed by the payment of a ransom. And in Christ, we are delivered. We are ransomed from the bondage of sin and the curse of the law. Fifth jewel, also in verse 7. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is through the riches of His grace. And His grace gives the redemption that makes forgiveness possible. Sixth jewel, you have believed. Faith flows from God's eternal purpose. Faith itself is a gift of grace. Seventh jewel, verse 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. A seal in the ancient world provided security and authenticity and ownership. And God, here in this passage, the idea is the Holy Spirit has been sent to be a seal upon the hearts of believers of all of God's covenant promises to us. And then also the eighth and the last jewel, our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of our inheritance. You have an inheritance, Christian, in heaven. You have an inheritance that's waiting for you there. So let's just review these jewels quickly here at the end. Union with Christ, chosen before the foundation of the world. In love, predestined to adoption. Are you beginning to have some joy? We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of faith. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have an inheritance in heaven, the treasure chest of joy. And finally, I was thinking that one of the things that we know that assurance is not necessarily part of the essence of faith. It's something that we have to strive after and work after. Use this passage for assurance. And let me help you get started. Every day, start tomorrow. Try this for a week. And say this. Where does my salvation begin? Does it begin back when I can remember something happening? Your salvation began before the foundation of the world. That should blow you away. Second thing, how does God feel about me? How does He feel about me? In love, He predestined you to adoption. He's made you sons and daughters. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank You for this passage. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would be planting it deep in our bloodstream, that would be available to us when things are happening to us, that we would remember and take out these jewels of joy that come from You. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.